Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and love, family. Peace and love. Thank you for tuning in to another live edition of Twin Flame Radio. My name is Divine Queen, and I am here with my enlightened king, Chris. Say what's good to the fam.
What's good, family? Winning. This is what we do. Feeling good, feeling great, feeling like a winner out here. Man.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
I like your new cut.
Thank you.
It's visually stimulating.
Thank you.
On a low chopper level, too. My root is tingling, baby. Or should I say sacral?
It's too early in the show for you to be starting. It is too early in the show for you to be starting. Well, fam, we are glad to have you with us this evening. We have another great show lined up for you tonight. Tonight we are going to be talking about rituals. What are rituals? And so a lot of people, there's this mystique about rituals where people get kind of spooked out by the word, and it has a bad rep of being attached to darkness, occult, well, it is in a sense, but on a darker level, satanic, things of that nature. So we're going to be going in deep on that. But before we do that, we're going to do like we do on every show, because we can do what we want to do because we pay the bills.
Facts.
We're going to talk about what we want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the daddies out there.
Ooh.
We appreciate you for doing your thing. Hold it down. I know. I am extremely grateful for you, Chris.
I'm the pappy.
You have been a wonderful father to our daughter, a good role model to other young men. You always give back and you do things to support the young men out there that don't have daddies or, you know, don't have their daddies necessarily involved in your life as much as they should be. Yeah. We'll just leave it at that.
Thanks, babe. I appreciate that. And I do it for the heart because I was once one of those childs. When Father's Day came around, I didn't have anybody to give. I remember when we used to have to make Father's Day gifts, I used to feel like, man, I guess I'm put my mom's name on here because I didn't want to give it to
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that a lot when I was growing up. A lot of people would, you know, we had to make the Father's Day cards or gifts or whatever. And I would hear people going like, I'm giving this to my mama, my daddy.
Yeah.
And you know, it was kind of sad for me because my dad was in my life, and so I took joy into making him gifts and things like that. So, you know, and then when he wasn't in my life later in life, I understood, you know, where those emotions came from. So, yeah.
I never made my father anything.
Really?
The only thing I made him do was cry. I told him about it when I became a man.
Mm-hmm.
I was 23. I'll never forget.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't mean, my intent wasn't to make him cry, but I was just coming from the heart being so general. I wasn't crying. I was just like, man, you know, this is what it is, bro.
Don't ask
me to love you.
Right.
Until you die and I put you on my altar. I didn't say that.
That's cruel, Chris.
I love him now.
Yeah.
He's on my altar. He eats, you know, he kicks it, you know.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, winning.
You know, it's something when you you ask people to celebrate a figure that isn't in their lives, and when you have other people who have to fill in to fill that void, you know, that's, I don't know, I just always found that kind of.
You know, in the beginning, before I became the enlightened one,
mm-hmm.
it was real disheartening to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But now I understand that I chose those challenges in my life. So I would be this amazing dad that I am today that you see hither in front of you. You know what I'm saying? So I chose for my pappy to be gone.
You both chose it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we win.
So let's see. What did we do this weekend? We celebrated Father's Day. We went to this place called The Nation Kitchen and Bar. I think that's what it was called. Oh, so good.
Oh, my God. They had the best French toast I ever put in my mandible. It made my mouth moist. I mean, it had cereal and the sourdough bread infused.
Fruity Pebbles, fam.
Fruity Pebbles.
I know. Crunch. Sounds crazy, but it was so good.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
I asked in the slightly sprinkled powdered sugar over there.
Yes.
With warm maple syrup. The hash browns with the gravy and the fried egg on top.
Yeah, that was
amazing.
Good.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I know what we're doing next Saturday.
Yes.
And then?
And we also, well, not Father's Day, but the day before, I believe it was, we went and we had this amazing Indian food.
Doomish. I shared a video on my Facebook play page, so if you're friends with Chris and Light, go to my Facebook page and just watch me feast. Watch me feast like a god.
And something else you want to be on the lookout for, fam, we have here at Twin Flame Radio, we like to branch out. We do a little bit of everything. We do, you know, spiritual stuff. We do regular people stuff. We do, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the next things that we have opening up is going to be Twin Flame Eats.
Oh, yeah. Twin Flame Eats is coming soon. I'm talking about before the end of June.
Yeah.
Where we're going to go out to local restaurants and record it and give our own reviews. It'll be on YouTube. We're going to have a Twin Flame Eats YouTube page.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, if you're ever in Cincinnati area, you can see what foods to eat. And you can watch me smash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later on, because we do a lot of traveling, we'll start opening up when we go out to different locations and let you know, like, when we're in the city, this is where we go to eat, or this is what you can check out, and, you know. So
North Carolina, we hit Pinkies up.
Yeah.
We also hit that one spot up with Mertz.
Mertz. Yeah.
Tell them about Atlanta. Forget what I just said. Tell them about Atlanta. Law.
Yes, Atlanta has a lot of good eateries, too. We went to, I can't remember the name of it
now. So good. I just remember how the food tastes. That's good. Forget the name.
But me too. We will be announcing that when that's ready to roll out. We'll be doing that shortly.
Mm.
So I look forward to that.
Yes.
And what else? Anything else we did this weekend?
My wife got me a deity for Father's Day. She got me, you know, something real special, so I appreciate her.
Oh, yeah.
I love my woman, y'all. Y'all better get you a divine queen. What's wrong with y'all? You better get you a divine one that's a queen. Bruh.
You are so silly.
I remember the first time I seen her walking down the street going to McDonald's, those tight pants, those stripes on. I said, she's going to bear my firstborn. I was 15.
You did not know I was going to bury your only born.
I knew it. Something told me down in my sacrum.
You don't start with this sacral.
I don't like the way sacral sounds.
It's so silly.
I know.
It's just crazy. I don't know about you sometimes. Yes, but I don't know. I can't think of it. Oh, we went shopping.
Oh, we did went shopping.
Yeah, we went shopping. Mm-hmm. We wanted to go to the Serpent Mound this weekend, but I don't know about where the rest of the fam is at, but here in Cincinnati, it's burning.
It's burning.
It's burning.
It's hell hot.
It's like...
I seen Satan in a swimsuit. Like, man, it was so
fanning
hot.
Himself.
Fanning himself with his own tail. I was like, it's hot down here. I'm like, dang, get out of here. It's too hot. Oh, my God. He was like, women. Women.
He got issues.
Jeez.
Oh, man, you got issues.
I got another thing to talk about.
What's that?
My book dropping next week.
Yes. Tell the fam about that.
Wealth Consciousness is dropping next week, family. Mm. You know, my second book, Poverty Consciousness, made the best Amazon bestsellers list, but this Wealth Consciousness is just on a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my, this plethora of jewels all through it. And it's just such a good book. It's really well written. And I'm not saying it because I wrote it. I'm saying it because I wrote it.
Take it from me, fam. This is going to be, if you thought Poverty Consciousness was good, man, wait for Wealth Consciousness. And I love the cover. And
cover,
I mean,
dope.
Everything's just dope about it.
Cover dope.
It's just dope. I love this book. It's going to be a banger, fam.
Speaking of books, my wife, she dropped a book about 3 months ago called I Am Divine. I mean, dang. I Am My Divine Queen. And it also made the Amazon bestseller book list. And it's one of the best literary masterpieces that I wrote, that I read this year. And I'm not just saying it because that's my wife. I'm saying it because it's good. I picked it up and I couldn't put it down. I was looking at her. My mouth was open. I had to wipe away a little moisture that was falling. Because I was just so proud of her. You know, I knew she had skill, but man, the way she put these stories together, it was just, oh. And there's something, that's one thing about a good writer. When a writer writes and you see different aspects of yourself within the characters, it helps you relate to the story more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she did. It seems as if she went out and she dissected all the different souls that are out here, and she pulled a little piece from each of them, and she carefully and meticulously put them into each character within the book. And I'm telling you, it's a banger.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
I had my eyes closed while I was talking.
I know you really meant it.
I meant that.
When your eyes are closed,
yeah,
you mean it.
I meant that.
When your eyes are squinty, you're lying.
She told me her tail. Yeah.
Your tail.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, Phil. So let's get into this show. What are rituals? Chris, you want to give your interpretation of what rituals are?
Yeah, I think rituals are something that you do every day, day in and day out, to get a desired result out of something.
Mm.
We all do rituals, but we don't know that we're doing rituals.
Mm-hmm.
We do them every day,
mm-hmm.
from putting our drawers on with our right foot, brushing our teeth, cleaning your right ear before your left, start at the top of your body when you wash. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is a ritual. If you do it day in and day out for a desired result,
mm-hmm.
doesn't have to be spooky.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about you? What's your definition?
I would agree with that. And I would also say that a ritual would also consist of some sort of spiritual act.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you may be giving offerings, you may be praying, you may be doing mantras,
mm-hmm.
Meditation, anything where you're doing some kind of act to connect with a higher level of consciousness.
I like that. I was given a definition of a ritual from a mundane-minded,
mm-hmm.
and you gave a ritual from a highly elevated, enlightened mind. That's what we do here. Mm-hmm. That's what we do here. So when was your first spiritual ritual that you did? Do you remember?
My very first spiritual ritual, if we're talking about from the beginning of time, it would be when I was taught how to pray. I remember my mom taught me how to pray, and I said the children's prayer that most probably all little kids say now. Lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And I would say that with so much, you know, conviction. And, you know, even as a little girl, I was saying, you know, my eyes closed, my hands clasped together. Now lay me down to sleep. You know, I had like a lot of, you know, faith in my prayer and that they were being delivered to the Creator. As an adult coming into what we call spirituality, not religion, my first act of a ritual was tending to my altar daily. You know, just going to my altar and speaking with the deity, speaking with my ancestors, speaking with the Creator and the angels, and, you know,
you know, I stopped praying when I was 5 years old. My prayers weren't getting answered. It was like nothing I wanted I was getting. So I said, man, pray it don't worry. I'm going to be doing it wrong. I was 5 years old. And I remember my aunt used to make me say a ritual or a prayer before I ate every time.
It
wasn't no sitting at the couch eating. We had to eat at the table, wait on everybody to sit down, get their juice, sit down ready to eat. We all had to say a prayer, and I wasn't a Bible person, so I was just always say, God, thank you. I say like my kitty voice, God, thank you for my food. That was my prayer. I was like 15 saying that, God, thank you for my food.
Your voice doesn't sound like that at 15.
It did. It really high-pitched. It didn't get deep until I seen you in those jeans. I like, oh my God. Who is that? I'm going to marry her.
You have issues.
Yeah. But as an adult, my first ritual was like you, attending to my altar. I remember we went to this cultural art center. Shout out to Sweet Sister Splash. And we did some classes. We were learning about the Orishas, and then we learned about altars. And then, like, that weekend, we went out and bought all this stuff for our altars, and we realized we had 90% of what we needed at home already. We were just buying stuff and didn't even know why we needed it. But when it was time to get our altar, we were like, oh, that's for my altar.
And, you know, most people already have the things that they need for their altars and don't realize that they need them. And, you know, we did a show on altars, but there's very basic things that are needed for the altar. There's nothing really elaborate or extravagant that you need in order to have an altar. You know, an altar is just a place where you place your loved ones, the deities, the gods, the angels. You can do things such as flowers, plants, candles, incense, pictures,
water,
food,
whatever you want.
Whatever you want, actually.
Yeah, you want to connect with all the elements, earth, wind, fire, and water. And, you know, you being the spirit, you connecting everything together, you can make things happen, you know?
Exactly.
But that was my first one, my first serious one.
Yeah. I think from there, I started getting into different types of rituals. I started doing spell work, performing spells, doing different acts at my altar. I started praying more at my altar. In the beginning, it was just more of me just speaking to my ancestors. From there, it moved into saying ancient prayers and mantras, meditating at my altar, and just going there for a releasement. You know, sometimes we have so much going on in our lives that we need an area or a place where we can just go and release things. And for me, going to my altar was that sacred place for me, where it was like anything that troubled me or anything that I felt stressed by or whatever, I felt like it was like I can get a cleansing at my altar by letting all that stuff go.
You know, me when I first started doing rituals at my altar, it was my solace. It was my place where I can go and talk how I wanted to talk without anyone being offended or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And my main objective by going to my altar was to grow spiritually. I was willing to do whatever it took outside the box that no one else was doing, regardless of who deemed it was right or wrong. I made a conscious choice to grow spiritually, and I was going to go to my altar and change my own life. I remember when I first started going, after I was done, I felt like, wow, I'm doing something. This is kind of spooky, but I like it. And after a while, it became no longer spooky, but it felt as if it was something that I longed to do.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that I needed to do it. I felt good about doing it. And the more I did the ritual, the more I felt as if it was working in my earthly life. Things started changing. I started winning exponentially. I no longer have bad luck. I connect with animals and bugs and you name it, people, everything, even myself on an innate level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to see the God within me in everything. And I notice that my speech has changed. I'm still silly, but, you know, that's just a fragment of who I once was.
Mm-hmm.
I have a deeper side of me that I really don't share a lot, but through my rituals, I do a lot of rituals,
mm-hmm.
you know. Some of them, I don't even know that I'm doing it. Like, I just bust out the miracle prayer or the Anisa Vajaya
mm-hmm.
for nothing because mm-hmm. I felt as if I need to do it.
Right.
And I noticed that when I do things like that, when I feel those things like that, I just go with it. I don't care who's around. I just go with it. I don't second guess it. I think that we're all tested to do things outside of the box to grow spiritually, but we let other people's assumptions suppress our growth. And that's one thing that I'm imploring our audience to no longer do. There's so much power in solitude. And once you learn to embrace solitude when you're away from people, you can bring that solitude wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what stressful situation you're in, you can invoke that solitude energy and have a little session.
Mm-hmm.
Only takes a few moments.
Mm-hmm.
In your mind, you can say a bunch of things that you can't say with your first voice, your mouth. With your second voice, you can say whatever it is you want to say and no one hears you. And it still counts. You don't have to always exclaim your rituals. You can do them in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I just wanted to tell the people that.
You know, you said something that was really interesting I want to touch back on. You stated that when you first started doing different rituals that you felt in the beginning like it was spooky,
mm-hmm.
but you liked it.
Yeah.
And I think that what people need to understand is that, you know, we are drawn to certain things because it has been something that has always been a part of us. And it's something that we have been shamed, you know, into think we have been forced into thinking that it's a shameful act.
Mm-hmm.
It's a forbidden act. It's a spooky act.
It's blasphemous.
Yes. So, in the beginning, it will feel foreign. It will feel spooky. It will feel, you will be a little uncomfortable because it's new to you. It's something, it's actually not new to you, but it's something that you don't remember.
Right.
But something that you said was that once you started doing it as a ritual, meaning everyday practice, expecting a result, it became something that you grew to love. It
mm-hmm.
became something that felt natural.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it felt natural is because it's something that has always been in you. It's something
right.
that you've done for lifetimes.
Mm-hmm. That's why it feels so natural.
Mm-hmm.
I want the audience to know that no matter what it is you do, as long as you do it with the capacity and feeling and foundation out of love and light and joy, it will always have the capacity to have that.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I can light a match, and I know I'm lighting this match to connect with my spirit and my ancestors. And that's a joyous act. A pyromaniac can light a match and know he's about to burn the house down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no longer a joyous act. It's more of a vengeful act.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what you do, don't worry about how other people perceive it. Create your own bubble of reality in whatever it is you do. No matter what it is, there's no good, there's no bad, there's no right, and there's no wrong. There's only frequency, and there's energy. You can use energy in a favorable way or you can use energy in a non-favorable way. Period.
I like that breakdown, because when you're doing certain rituals, you're doing them, you're working with energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're working with, you're connecting your energy amongst the energy of, you know, the creator, and you are putting forth something that you're giving life to. For example, if you do a ritual for, let's say, a prosperity ritual,
mm-hmm.
What you're doing is pretty much aligning your consciousness up with the gods of prosperity, and you're asking for a turnabout, and you breathe that out. You breathe that energy out, you give it life, and it produces an effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you do different things, you're opening up a gateway pretty much to allow blessings and prayers to be answered, different acts that you want into your life to unfold.
Mm-hmm. Rituals are nothing more than a physical representation of the law of correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing physical acts so the universe and reality to bend and correspond to your will and your intentions.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. It's not as deep as people make it seem.
It really is.
If you go out and you go out barefoot and you know there's glass on the ground, if you go out there day in and day out, at the end of your week, your feet will be sore. Same thing with rituals. If you want whatever it is you want, and you do it day in and day out, you're going to reap the benefit of whatever you're doing. It's just as simple as that. The law of correspondence is real. It's like, imagine a boomerang. When you throw it out, it's going to come back. And reality corresponds to all your will and your desires and your intentions, whether it's conscious or subconscious. So you got to be really mindful of what you feed your mind. You hear a lot of people always sharing these negative memes or talking negative. And when you're embracing those things, your body and your paradigm is going to have a corresponding effect to whatever you feed your mind and your conscious mind. So really be particular about who you hang around, what music you listen to. All those are rituals.
Mm-hmm.
All those are rituals. There's a reason why certain shows come on every day of the week at certain time and certain days.
I was just about to go in.
Go ahead, sweetie.
No, I was going to say where you brought up music, listening to negative music. And there is a reason why you hear the same song being played on the radio repeatedly.
Uh-huh.
It will come on every, 7 minutes or whatnot, uh-huh. or, just throwing a number out there. And, have you ever noticed, like, when you're listening to the radio and you hear a song, you're like, and you flip to another station and that same song is on.
Yeah.
It may be at the end or it may be at the beginning or whatever, but, what are the odds that they're playing the same song around the same time?
Mm-hmm.
We have this joke where there's this radio show that we listen to here in Cincinnati, and every Friday they play the same song, same artist, like clockwork.
Janet Jackson's Pleasure Princess.
Jeez.
And it's to the point where we're starting to hate the song. It's like it comes on, and we're changing it. We don't want to hear it. Thank God for Sirius FM. But,
it's old.
The powers that... The powers that be, the media, the government, the overseers of our reality put rituals on us every day,
mm-hmm.
and we don't even realize it. We watch TV programs that come on every day, mm-hmm. we listen to the songs on the radio that come on. There's millions of artists out there, but yet you hear the same four people all the time, and it's not only because of them having a large audience and money or whatever. And there's other artists out there who have money and large audience, but there's something about think about the lyrics that are being played on a song. Think about the TV programs that are the long-running programs of what kind of substance they're feeding you. The news, for example, that's a ritual right there in itself, So rituals can have a dark undertone to them. And it's, I shouldn't say that they do. It's more of the people who who were dark that put them out there.
That's it. Your ritual is nothing more than the extension of who you are.
Exactly.
And it's as simple as that. If you're dark, you're going to have dark rituals. If you're light, you're going to have light rituals. You just gravitate towards whatever you are. That's the law of vibration.
Mm-hmm.
You put some rice on the plate and you put some peas on the plate and you shake them at a certain vibration, they're all going to kind of correlate together. That's just how it is. That's why they say birds of a feather flock together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find out who your boyfriend or girlfriend's friends are. Meet your boyfriend or girlfriend's parents.
Yeah, find out who you're dealing
find
with.
Find out who you're dealing with. And that's a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Who you dealing with?
So rituals are something that have been around since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't really understand what rituals are, you know, really embody. So when you think about, I'm going to take it to religion.
Okay.
When you think about religion, everything that's involved in religion is acts of ritual, mm-hmm. ritual acts.
Yeah.
Going to church every day on a Sunday, mm-hmm. praying at a certain time of day,
mm-hmm.
Fasting.
Saying amen.
Saying amen, yeah.
What man? Amen.
Doing offerings in the church, tithing.
Eating you know. That little nasty cracker. I had that cracker. It had no taste.
Yeah, it was a saltless saltine.
Oh, that's what it's called?
Yes.
I call it the nasty cracker. I know what it's called.
Don't know what it's called either. You know what? I do, but I can't think of the name of it right now. For some reason, oysters in my head, but I know it's not oyster because oysters are the ones that look like oysters.
Cracker.
It's like a little wafer, though. But
yeah.
I can't think of what it's called.
It's kind of like a what they call it, a sea dollar? Sand dollar?
I don't know.
You ever see those?
Oh, what?
A sand dollar.
Oh, a sand dollar.
That's
yeah.
what it kind of looks like.
You said sea dollar.
My bad. Coffee cracker, a sand dollar. Nancy cracker. But a lot of the ancient rituals are encoded in our reality,
mm-hmm.
and they've been given a new hue or a new motif that we have no idea what it really means.
That's true.
Like the clapping of the hands.
Yeah.
That's a way to connect energy.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, if you felt someone was down or you just smack your hands around them or yeah, I would do a form of patty cake because I'm feeling good. I want to uplift you, and I would smack your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So if you notice when kids are going to school, they bored, they do patty cake, and they always feel great. And you football
every
play,
little baby loves patty cake.
Every little baby loves patty cake. They love it. They don't know why they love it. Football players, they get into a huddle,
mm-hmm.
and they, 1, 2, 3, let's go. That's mm-hmm. a way of syncing up everyone's consciousness to get on the same accord mentally to become one cohesive unit of
destruction. Is that why they smack butts, too?
I have no idea why they smack butts. And I wasn't a butt smacker, and I wasn't a butt smacky. There's certain things I just don't do. I'm a sensitive bum.
Yeah, you do.
So I can't take that. You know, I had that happen once. This is off subject, but I was pledging for a fraternity. And when it came to get smacking, and I was on the line for 4 weeks.
It's actually not off subject. It was a ritual.
It was a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
We were in there eating eggs, degrading ourselves, eating raw onions, you know, people degrading us
mm-hmm.
just to be down.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to physical pain, I told them, I'm not doing that. You got to get 12 swats. I said, the same day by that built dude? Nah, I'm not doing it. Well, if you ain't doing it, you ain't on the line then. You got it. I said, no problem. It's been real, bruhs. And they treated me like crap, like fecal matter. But I've always been a one-man gang,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't care. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't taking no pain in the bum to be someone's friend. Yeah.
You know, another ancient act that was a ritual was dancing.
Dancing. Ooh. Go in.
So, you know, the ancients would do things where they would hold rituals where they would dance, and it was a way of them all coming together to, you know, for different things. Some were to, you know, some are the same, some are different things, you know, a grouping of things. But it was to praise the Most High and the gods. It was a way of showing them their appreciation for the blessings that they received.
Mm-hmm.
It was a way for them to perform so that they could receive blessings. It was a way of invoking joy. You know, it's a long laundry list of different things that they did when they would dance, when they would sing, when they would chant, when they would put on costumes. It was a way of honoring the gods. It was a way of, you know, saying thank you and, you know, and asking for blessings.
You know, one thing that I do is a form of that while I'm at work. I don't dance, I don't chant, but while I'm working and I'm doing like some real critical thinking,
mm-hmm.
and I expand myself while I'm focused on doing work, I open up my feminine energy. And while I'm focused on doing the work, I start getting downloads.
Hmm.
And it's similar to dance. And they're doing a physical act, turning and zoning out. And they open themselves up to receive. And they're receiving energies, deities, whatever type of energy that they call upon,
mm-hmm.
to take over them so they can do magical things.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have that innate ability to do this. But when you don't know, you don't do. Those who know, they do. Now that you know this, you need to find out what lane or what's your trigger to invoke positive, prosperous, informative, creative energy,
mm-hmm.
within yourself. But it's not going to happen like the first day you do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take time for you to learn yourself. Everyone has their own lane of success.
Mm-hmm.
What works for me doesn't work for Divine Queen. What works for me doesn't work for my daughter. Once you find your own lane, it's going to be like, Eureka, I got my lane.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to become a point where you don't have to meditate every day. It's good that you do, but you're going to be at a meditative state all day.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait till you go home to do altar work, and it shouldn't be labeled as work, because work has the mystique of doing something you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But once you tap in, you're going to be just spirit at all times of the day. I'm at the light. I'm feeling joy. I'm pumping my gas. I'm giving thanks for having money to put gas in my tank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in a constant state of being connected with the all, and that's my all-day ongoing ritual. And that's what you want to aspire to do.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you do, you want to do in little bitty chunks until you can take a big bite, you know.
I like that.
You like that?
Mm-hmm.
Which part? A little bite or big bite?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you know, there's also other things that, you know, ancients and people have done as acts of rituals, and it's things that we have developed into everyday just working systems for us,
mm-hmm.
Which could be farming.
Yeah.
You know, the calendar, knowing, you know, what days to honor certain things. We honor certain holidays on certain days. Well, they had things where they would honor certain deities on different days. They would honor, you know, give thanks to the sun every day.
Mm-hmm.
We give thanks when we wake up every morning.
Yeah.
You know, that's a ritual. So rituals go back to ancient times, the beginning of time. It has always been, because it's always a part of us.
Think about the minute things that you do. Like getting paid is a ritual. I get paid every other
day. Yeah.
When you want your money, what do you do? What ritual do you do? You
mm-hmm.
go to the ATM.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before you go to the ATM, what do? You pull out your debit card.
Mm-hmm.
All these are rituals. They're little bitty things that you do all the time to get a desired result. When you want to speak to someone, what do you say? You say hi.
And before you do those, the first thing you do is you think about it. You form a thought, and then you put forth the action.
Mm-hmm.
So we have rituals that float around in our head at all times. We don't always act on all of them, though. And that's the part that I think that as a race of people, we have been forced into this box of fear. We have been told that if you don't do certain things that is considered as right or righteous, then you are less than. You are not, you know, worthy. You are not, you're not following the program. You know, and just think about that statement, following the program. You know, this is something that, you know, powers that be has set out for us to do in order, they created their own ritual to keep us in line. And, you know, when you break away from doing things outside of that program, you know, you start creating your own rituals, you start doing your own acts of spirituality, you start developing your own, you know, self, and recognizing, you know, your higher self and the higher beings and what this whole thing called life is about, then you start opening up the doors to have different rituals come into your life and produce different things.
You know what, family? The key to making a good ritual work is the ritual being seamless. It should be a seamless act. When you sneeze, you don't spit all over the place and be like, "Ooh, I got to cover my mouth." Sneezing and covering your mouth isn't something that everyone does. It's something you've been taught to do. So as soon as you feel that sneeze come on, your body knows to just do it without thinking about it. That's when a ritual works the best.
Oh, I like that.
When your body does it.
When you don't even realize you're trying to do it, it just takes over.
It just takes over. It just takes over. I'm a martial artist. And after about 6 months, to prove to my students, because when you train someone, they'll never be as good as you. And they always see them as being not good because they want to be good like you. I've been training with this guy for 2 years. Shout out to John. He's an amazing martial artist. I took him from nothing to a killer. And he doesn't believe in himself. He does now because I did something to him. And the ritual that I do with my students, after 6 months to a year, when I feel they're ready, I blindfold them, and then we bang blindfolded. And he's amazed at how he can sense me, how he knows when I'm about to punch him without even seeing it. He should just feel it because he's adapted to the fight frequency by doing a ritual every week, and that's training with me. And we all have it. Like the day before the show, I almost broke my phone. And there's no way possibly I could have seen it about to fall and me have time to catch it. But by me not thinking about it and trusting my cat-like reflexes, I caught it. My wife was going to be like, "Dang, I don't know how he does that."
That's not what I was thinking.
He was like, "I love him so much."
I wasn't thinking that. I've
seen you lick your lips.
It's because they were chapped.
Facts. I'm so serious.
Silly. So, you made me forget what I was about to say.
So, what's some of the power within the rituals that you've seen it, that you've experienced?
Well, there have been times where I've done certain rituals and I've seen quick turnaround. I've gotten instant responses. I've gotten instant manifestation. And there's been times where it was something that I had to keep putting in more practice into. Like you, I don't like to say the word work because it's something I'm breaking away from because I don't like the word work. And like you said, it makes you seem like you're doing something that you don't want to do, that you're not being rewarded for. Or if you are being rewarded, you're being rewarded in pennies. So I like to say practice because I believe that when you put forth practice, your goal is to achieve mastery. And so rituals is something that I like to look at as a practice. So there's been times where I had quick turnaround, and there's been times where I had to keep doing it repeatedly in order to see a result. And even when I've gotten results, it doesn't stop there. You know, there's been times where it was like, okay, well, I achieved what I wanted with this. Now I'm going to move on to something else. And then there's times with other things where it was like, okay, I achieved this, but I'm going to keep going forward with it because this is part of who I am now.
You know, one thing that I know is that rituals affected my life on a quantum level, and it manifested in my reality.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 16 years old, I got my license, and from the time I was 16 until I got my medallions, I was getting pulled over and disrespected and profiled and degraded by the cops like clockwork, so much so that I had to move out of a certain area because at night if I would come out, I would be labeled as a thug, and I would get pulled over for no reason. They always let me go because I never had no record, no tickets, no in jail, none of that crazy stuff, and they always let me go, but just to be detained by how you look was disheartening for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I invested in some real spiritual tools like my Archangel Michael Demiurge medallion, all that stuff surprisingly just stopped. And all it took was for me to invest in my spirituality and adorn this tool every day.
You did a ritual of wearing this tool every day.
Every day.
And in return, your result was protection.
Protection. And, you know, since I've had it, I haven't even been pulled over. I ain't gonna say I speed all the time, but I'm not doing anything different than I was doing before.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get pulled over. I've had cops get behind me, and it's as if I repel them.
And even though we don't live in that neighborhood anymore, you work in that neighborhood.
I work in that neighborhood.
So you're still in that area every day.
Yeah. Work right by the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
They see me.
Mm-hmm.
And my dreads are long. And I'm big. And you know the rest.
I have done different rituals where I've done, we talked about prosperity rituals. One of the first prosperity rituals that I did was a 11-11 ritual where I put $11.11 into several jars, and within those jars I placed them in the far left hand corner of each room, and we were prior to doing this we were at a state in our lives where we just felt like, you know, we couldn't catch a break. It was to the point where we were expecting bad things to happen because we were used to them happening.
It's September again.
And when I did that first ritual, that was something that I believe helped alleviate that mindset that we had. So then blessings started coming into our lives. It was funny because we were cleaning out our old bed. We got a new bed.
Shout out the purple mattress.
We got purple.
I forgot to talk about that. Oh,
yes.
My God. You talking about good sleep?
Yes.
Goodness. I feel like I wake up out the womb every day. Shout out to my mama. Getting out that womb.
Ew. So it was funny because we were throwing away our old bedroom set, and underneath our bed, we found a spell jar that I had did. And it was a jar with some money in it and some crystals and some herbs. And I had placed it under the bed. And I had completely forgotten about this whole thing. And it was, you know,
funny.
It was funny that we found it. And, you know, it was just.
We've been winning, though.
We've been winning.
We've done more in the past 5 years than we've done in the past 20 years.
Facts.
I mean, from 2006 to, like, before we got the confidence to realize that what we're doing is working. See, there's one thing to do a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got to go out and do things to reap the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's not going to knock on your door and say, ah, here's your money. Ah, here's traveling.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to do things and not worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that a ritual that I do now is I do things without being ready. Because you'll never get ready. You'll never be ready to write a book.
If you keep trying to prepare yourself, you'll get stuck in that area of preparing yourself.
Yeah. You just got to just do things and just know.
Just do it.
That's a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing. I know. Ali's like, I'm going to knock him out in the third round. He knew it. And he convinced the world, his reality, and the person that he was fighting, okay, it's the round he going to die me out in. Just the thought of him doing it creates the potential for it to occur.
Open up that energy, create that current.
And that's the real power of a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
You're having a thought and saying, okay, I want this to occur. I'm going to do A and B until C occurs. Day one didn't happen. Day two, it didn't happen. Day 40, it may not happen. Day 45, it'll occur. It's just like that,
mm-hmm.
depending on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And your magical powers, your spiritual prowess is like a muscle. That what you do most is that what you do best. So the more you do your rituals, whenever you need to do a ritual, the more likely it is to occur faster for you. People like to go to the mound and do things with us because they know we're winners. And they realize, like, wow, we're winning when we do things with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the adverse thing that if you're a winner and they're not a winner, they're going to get your winning energy and you're going to lose. So that's the power of rituals. Be mindful of who you do them with. If you know someone ain't up on their practices, don't just be willingly giving up all your winning energy. Don't disperse the joy like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. If you're doing rituals with other people, you definitely want to be mindful of who you're doing rituals with. You know, look at their energy, look at, you know, their mindset, look at, you know, really get to know someone before you just do a ritual with someone.
Yeah. You know, we did a ritual. We went to the casino with some people.
Mm-hmm.
And we used some words of power.
Mm-hmm.
We up in the casino saying a miracle prayer, looking at sigils.
Mm-hmm.
People look at us like we crazy. We in a circle like footballs playing about that sack. And McCoy gets it like going in, staring at these sigils.
Mm-hmm.
And we all hit.
Mm-hmm.
We all won.
I did an extra ritual even before we got there. I did a Jade Emperor ritual, a spell for the Jade Emperor. And I really came out on top.
You did real good.
Mm-hmm. And it was a spell for Games of Chance.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, but it wasn't something that I just did one time and I did it. You know, it was something that I had been practicing
for months.
And
every day,
all the time. And I believe that a lot of people do things and they expect things to just happen. There's really no emotion tied to it. There's no faith tied to it. There's no, you know, belief tied to what they're trying to achieve. They see someone else do something and they go, oh yeah, I can do that too. I can put my shoes on too. I put my shoes on every day.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't walked into $1 million. Mm-hmm. You know, but it takes more than just doing an act. It's more than just the physicality of doing something. It's tying your soul to something. It's making a connection with something much bigger than this vessel that we're just riding in.
You know what? I want to give the family a good analogy that they can hold on, smell, and taste.
Yeah.
When you go to the bank, if you don't have any money in the bank, you're not going to be able to pull out any money. But if you keep putting money in the bank month after month, year after year, when you go to the bank, you can pull some out. So that's the power within rituals and spells. When you give and give and give without the intent of taking, but just to give, to build up your ritual energy, your magical energy, when the time arises that you need to pull from it, you'll have an escrow account there that you can pull from.
Mm.
And that's how rituals work, family. I'll be honest with you. Until you get good, until you prove to the universe, and more importantly, your higher self on a divine level, that you're about it, what you do won't work. It's just as simple as that. Some rituals take years. Some rituals take almost a lifetime. You know, some rituals take longer than 5-10 months. You know, you got to practice at it. But I heard Jackie Chan once say, when he was young, I heard him say this when I was a kid. And this is one reason why I got into martial arts. I've been into martial arts since I was 9 years old. But I heard Jackie Chan once say, I'd rather spend 10 years of my life while I'm young mastering something, and I'll have it mastered the rest of my life, than to be old and wish I would have, and then try later on in life and never reaping the benefits of my mastery.
Mm.
I thought that was impactful on my soul. And I realized, okay, I'm going to spend all my life until I'm about 30 years old doing martial arts, and then I'm going to be a master the rest of my life. And no one can let you know when you reach your level of mastery. You know, you don't have to be the best master out there, but when you master yourself, that's how you master your rituals. Mm-hmm. By mastering different aspects of yourself, family. And what's wrong with using cheat codes? It's fun to use cheat codes. It's less effort, less stress. You win quicker. Me personally, if someone says, hey, you can cheat, or you can do it the right, I mean, or you can do it this way, it may take you 10 years, but you can say these words and you get it done in two, what words are they?
Mm-hmm.
Please give them to me. So we gotta be really careful about who we're listening to, that's telling us these things are wrong. Are they winning? If they're not winning, they're what I call a speculative thinker. In my book, Wealth Consciousness, I go in for pages about speculative thinkers, people who speculate on things that they have no idea about. They haven't tried, and they're not winning. I'm not going to go to a donut maker to get my brakes put on. You know what I mean? I've got my life in my hands there.
Amen.
And my babies. We got a new car, new coupe. We ain't got to worry about that.
So something else that I think of when I hear the term rituals is organizations.
Mm.
So let's say masonry.
Okay.
One of the things that they have like their secret handshakes.
Mm.
They have their meetings that they have to go through on certain days or whenever. Churches meet, you know, on certain days, certain times. Another thing I think of with rituals is when you are getting married and you have to exchange, you know, just the act of putting together a wedding, how the ceremony. When you think about, you know, I love wordplay. So when you think about words like the ceremony,
uh-huh.
That's a ritual.
It is.
You know, so when you think about the act of, you know, how everyone has to dress, uh-huh. How you have to be coordinated,
uh-huh.
How you have to have your bridal party lined up a certain way.
Uh-huh.
Walking down the aisle. Exactly. I was getting to that. Uh-huh. Exchanging rings. Doing your vows. And now you see more popular things being incorporated into weddings, such as the unity candle.
Mm. The unity dirt.
The sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was dope. I like
mm-hmm.
that.
The releasing of butterflies.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The throwing of rice or bird seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blowing bubbles.
Smashing cake in her face. Yeah, or his face.
The first dance.
Taking off that garter. Throwing the bouquet. Uncle Larry getting drunk.
I don't know about Uncle Larry.
I do. Your father giving away the bride.
Giving away the bride. These are all rituals.
Yeah.
These are all rituals. Yeah. These are all things that tie into a spiritual act. For a desired result.
Mm.
You do these things. You have this big wedding. You have the father give away the bride. You have the bridal family pay for the wedding in, you know, ancient times. This was done as a way of securing an act to go through properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I have been a horrible hostess. We've been going in so much on rituals that I have not informed the fam that you can call in at 619-924-0835. And if you're already on the line, you can just hit the number 1 and that'll let us know that you want to come through, say what's up or have a question. And that's what we'll do. We'll bring you through.
Mm-hmm.
But the word ritual goes so much more on a deeper level than most people even realize.
Mm.
And there's different ways to tie in different things that we do on an everyday basis as a ritual.
Just think about the word ritual, and I never looked this up or anything like that. It just came to me.
Mm-hmm.
Rich you all. Rich you all.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's many forms of wealth. You could be doing a ritual on spirituality, on love.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a ritual on anything you can fathom. You can do a ritual on losing weight by eating right and working out. You don't see the fat leash when you wake up. You lose a little fat every day. Where's all the fat go? It's a ritual. You're doing something every day.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't see the fat grow when I eat delicious food. But if I know I eat that donut, I know, oh, I'm going to get fat. And you know it. But
mm-hmm.
people in jail, they eat donuts and get ripped.
They do.
And there's a science behind that. Yeah, I know some cats get commissary, get Twinkies, and come out looking like a personal trainer. What you eat? Twinkies and chips. Like, dang, bruh. I can shred cheese on your stomach. I ain't, but bruh. Put your shirt on around my queen.
So, doing a ritual is a custom. And it's something that you become accustomed to.
Oh, I like that double entendre.
I know, right?
That was clever. Did you read my notes?
No.
I'm just joking.
You're not going to do
it. I don't.
We don't do notes here.
We come from the dome.
Yes.
It's a ritual.
Facts. So I don't know. You have anything else you want to add on rituals?
Yeah, I got a lot to add on rituals, baby.
Okay.
I want the family to know this. Start giving things a shot. Start trying things out of the box. I want you all to start reinventing yourself. Who you were last week, last month, last year shouldn't be who you are tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what people are telling you and what you even believe yourself. If you can't intelligently break down what you believe or explain it, you really don't know. That's the first sign of being brainwashed.
Mm.
When you believe in things, but you can't intelligently break it down and surmise what it is it really is. And if you can do that and you feel good about the state that you're in, by all means, stay there. But if you want to win, start doing what winners do. You look up Michael Jordan. I'm reading about Michael Jordan. He used to wear his North Carolina shorts under his Chicago Bulls shorts every game of every
mm-hmm.
life that he's ever done.
That was his ritual.
Football players, they wear a dirty jock,
mm-hmm.
dirty socks.
People have their lucky coins.
Lucky coins. Some people, before they come in their house, they stump all the negativity off
mm-hmm.
of them.
Take your shoes off.
Take your shoes off.
Mm-hmm.
We do rituals every day, family.
We do.
And we do them to create the paradigm in which we want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to tell nobody about your ritual. Just try something. Create your own no system. Don't believe me. Create your own no system. I'm big on you creating your own bubble of belief. I don't believe that we all should believe the same thing the same way. We don't look, talk, walk, and think the same. Why should we all believe the same?
Mm-hmm.
That old way of thinking got most of us in the situation that we're in now. You put people in the same box, people are going to have the same results, same reactions, same way of living. Look at your family. Are they winning? Are they winning? Are you doing the same thing that your family's doing? You're a result of the understanding that they have that they bestowed onto you. I stopped doing everything my family was doing. And ever since I've been doing what I want to do, the way I want to do it, I've been winning exponentially. I've been feeling better. I don't get sick. I feel great. I buy new cars. I travel. I eat delicious food. I look good. I'm winning out here. I'm writing books, website, helping people, PayPal growing. It just, I can just keep going on. And it all stems from me choosing to do something out of the box, like create my altar. I'll never forget, it was a little rinky-dink, a little pretty little altar. Rinky-dink.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it was everything. It was the catalyst took my wins. It was the first step to changing my life. I want you all to start taking these baby steps to change your life, family. I don't want you to master all 50,000 steps. I want you to master each individual step the best you can. Mm-hmm. I want you to beat the heck out of that step. So when you look back, the step is broken. You can't go back. You can only go forward, family. Spirit told me to tell you all that.
I shared a post earlier today where I said Monday is the day that everyone starts new goals, where I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to start eating right, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to, you know, clean up my room, I'm going to do all those things. And Tuesday is the day that everyone fails.
That's real.
And pretty much what I was getting at was that, you know, we tend to put a lot on our plate because of our human ego. We want to achieve a lot. We want everything to just be perfect. And that's not the way that it has been designed for us. So what I stated that one should do is, instead of trying to take on so much and then failing, take on one thing at a time, such as what you said. You know, take on that one thing and master it for, you know, I said a week or whatever amount of time you choose, you feel comfortable at the point where you feel like you've mastered it or that you won't have any setbacks with it. And then at that point, when you're comfortable, add something new onto your plate. But we tend to, especially as Americans, we put a lot on our plate, literally, and we try to eat it up, and then we end up feeling nasty, full, and disgusted, and, you know, sick. Where we could just focus on one thing at a time and then build that plate up and still get the same amount of nourishment, if not better, because we tried to do too much and then failed.
I like that. I'm going to lead the family with this last thing. We've been told that a day consists of 24 hours. What if a day consisted of 1 hour? You would use hours more sparingly. You wouldn't just mindlessly spend hours sitting around doing nothing. So start looking at your day as 24 days. And what can you do in 24 days that you can't do in 24 hours? Start looking at your time differently. Start making your time your currency. You can spend money and get it back, but once you spend time, you ain't getting that back. This is what we call End Time with Justin Timberlake. That was deep. They spent their time wisely. They didn't play around with their time because it was everything to them. If they didn't spend their time right, they'd be dead.
I think we need to do a show on movies.
I'm the movie buff.
I know. You know all the movies. Yeah. I know movies, but you know all the movies.
How about we do that once a month? Was she about to say that?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's do a monthly show and
movie
just talk
breakdown.
About movies. Yeah.
I'll talk about 3 movies. I don't even need to get ready. I can do that right now. You know, I heard you.
We just created a new ritual, fam.
Eh? Our new ritual, family. Go to twinflameradio.com and donate. I'm just joking. There is no twinflameradio.com, family. There is none. You're just joking.
She'll be donating to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know one of my favorite rituals?
Twin Flame Radio.
Laughing.
Laughing is my favorite. It's something we do every day.
It is.
If you don't see us laughing, we mad at each other. That's very rare. That's very rare.
Facts.
Yeah. Man, I'm telling you.
It's usually me. About 85% of the time, it's me. Yeah, I own it.
But it's all good, though. You're a fire dragon.
I am.
That's who you are.
I am.
That's who you are.
When I don't like something, I'll let you know I don't like it.
You don't like it. I ain't even got to be the person. I'll be like,
dang, it wasn't me. It wasn't me, mama. our ritual.
That's her ritual, though. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So silly.
Hey, what do you mean, Mama? I like going back and listening to me say that. Like,
I bet you do, because it sounds crazy.
It does. It does. I'll be like, I should have did it one more time.
It wasn't me, Mama. Really, though?
Yeah, I had to.
So, I had a list of topics that we were going to talk about, and it is, I've been trying to pull it up, and it is not loading.
For all the ones I sent to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So, I was going to say, I have it, but it's just the email isn't loading for some reason. So I'm going to say what we were going to talk about next week, but since it's not loading for me, we could do movies next week.
Let's do movies next week then.
Yeah, I think that was a sign that that's what we need to do, and that's why it's not loading for me.
Yeah.
So next Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern time, tune in as we will be building on a breakdown of movies, something new that we're going to start doing. We're going to start building on different movies and the spiritual or hidden messages that are within a lot of these movies that many people don't even recognize.
A lot of people go to movies to get a mundane fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
But within movies, every director, they're very creative and they're very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And they make things on different facets.
Mm-hmm.
And you will only be able to perceive whatever level of consciousness that you're on. The more higher you're vibrating, the more aware, the more high level perception you're on, you'll be able to see through what they're saying and what they're really trying to give you. You'll be able to divulge through what you're seeing.
And then you'll be shocked because you'll be like, wow, I didn't even see that when I saw this movie before. You know, we go back and we watch, you know, movies that we've seen years ago before we were on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And we go back and we watch it with our new eye. And it's like, wow, this was telling me something or showing me something that I didn't even catch on to.
Go back and watch Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I got a thousand of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but we are, you know, because we've had this ritual performed on us, we've been conditioned not to see what's right in front of us. It's kind of like that movie They Live,
mm-hmm.
where things were right in front of people and they were seeing through their mundane eyes,
mm-hmm.
and not seeing through their true eye, mm-hmm. of what was really going on right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's
going to
be a good show.
Everything that we see is nothing more than the agreed upon projection of a certain illusion.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Nothing's really solid. Everything is vibrating in different frequencies. But if we agree, like the color purple, the actual color purple doesn't really exist.
Mm-hmm.
But we just agree upon that it does.
Mm-hmm.
Look up the color purple, family. Not the movie, but the actual color that doesn't exist.
Unless you're a Prince fan, you can check that out too. Don't do that again. I said don't. Well, I'm going to go ahead and sign us off for today, fam. It's been real. Tune in next Monday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern time, where we'll be building on
deeper science or the hidden messages within movies.
Ooh, I like that. Look out for one of those titles.
Yeah.
You can check us out on Facebook under Twin Flame Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find us on Facebook and on YouTube.
You can go to YouTube and look up The Enlightened Journey. That's T-H-E-E, the word enlightened, and then journey. Subscribe. I have my website, theenlightenedjourney.com. Go out to amazon.com. Look up Poverty Consciousness by Christopher E. Huffman. Look up The Enlightened Talk by Christopher E. Huffman. And coming soon, Wealth Consciousness within the next 12 days by Christopher E. Huffman.
And I am Divine Queen. You can find me on my website, IamDivineQueen.com, where I have a myriad of different products out there and services that I offer, including a Divine Gateway session, which is an intuitive reading that allows you to figure out what your blocks are and how to remove them, which deities you should work with, and a layout of what to expect in your coming days.
Mm.
Along with that, there's different types of readings, tarot, oracle, numerology, and again, the products, which I have, I Am Zen and I Am Vibrant, which are just some beautiful blends of different aromas and scents that I put together in the form of lotions, oils, perfumes, whatnot. Check it out.
Mm.
And you can also find my book, I Am, on Amazon under Divine Queen.
Mm.
Check that out as well. And be on the lookout for Twin Flame Eats coming soon to you. And with that, fam, my name is Divine Queen.
And I'm Chris Enlightened.
And this is us sending you out with peace and love, fam.
Peace.